Hello and welcome to The Song Goes On, the musical podcast from St. John Lutheran Church and School in Seward, Nebraska, 68434. I'm Cantor Paul Solick, and soon I'll be joined by my school music teaching colleague, Kaylee Girth. We love church music and music education, and we hope this podcast provides you an opportunity to join us in thinking, learning, and growing together. We're glad to have you with us. And we are here on the last day of November 2021. This is Paul Solick.
And I'm Kaylee Girth.
And we're here to talk about music, church music, music education, possibly food every once in a while. But we thought we'd start with giving you a little lowdown on why we're doing what we're doing. Miss Girth, lead us into this. Where did you grow up and why are you musical today?
I grew up in the booming metropolis of Vermilion, South Dakota, which was not that big at all, actually. It's a very small town, although it does have the University of South Dakota there with a big fancy music museum,
which is going to be opened again soon. They're doing a big renovation.
And hopefully they still have the music fountain outside of that. I still remember the music fountain. It was really cool. There's a guy playing violin and all these children like dancing around. And that's why I became a music teacher.
Well, that was a short answer to the question, Miss Girth. How nice.
No, not really, but it was a cool place. No, I took piano lessons when I was growing up, and I stuck with it for some reason. All of my siblings did, but I was the only one that really kept up with it. And then I joined band, and I played clarinet, and I went from being the worst clarinet player to being, like, pretty good. And then I joined jazz bands and marching bands, and then I dropped out of choir in middle school because I didn't like singing all that
much. Miss Girth.
I know. I just told the kids in my class that story today, and they were all very offended that I'd quit choir. But it's true. I quit choir for a while. And then I went to high school, and I had a crazy high school experience because we moved like every year of high school. But when I was choosing colleges, I chose Concordia because I knew about their music program because they had that summer music camp thing going on.
As a counselor.
Yeah. I wonder if you were a counselor when I went, Paul.
I don't remember that.
I don't either.
There's a lot of dancing, and I feel like your dancing would have stood out.
That's true. I have very signature, unique moves.
She's doing that right now for everyone at home, though you can't see it.
Oh, man. I chose Concordia because of the music program at the music camp there. And I thought, I like music. Maybe I'll want to become a music teacher. I actually wasn't all that like passionate about it at the time, but then I became a music teacher for real, and it turns out I loved it.
So through varied experiences, was there one age group or time that when you really stood out to you, hey, I really want to do this later in life?
I would not say growing up, I really thought that. I know when I was in college studying, I kind of thought I'd want to do upper level things because I thought that's like the level of stuff I'd want to be able to teach. But then when I started working with elementary kids, I was like, this is the best thing ever. These kids are fun. They are passionate. And you can do like the upper level stuff with them. You just make it fun and playful, but they catch on to the stuff really fast too.
And sometimes they're the ones that catch us in our musical mistakes.
They always catch us in musical.
Like if the music director prints something in two different key signatures because he didn't check finale, they are the ones that will catch it. And I love that for them.
I do too, right? I always say, I'm just checking to make sure that they're paying attention to what's going on. They know that that's not true, but I always pretend.
That's very good. Fake it till you make it, I hear, is
that
a thing.
It is a real thing.
And in encouraging students, probably with the same experiences you had, to get a wide variety of experiences and not to limit too much, because St. John's is a school where you can do the band and the choir and the handbells and the boom whackers and the instruments.
Yeah, do everything. But it's true. I think that that's such an important thing in like being a musician, that you're well-rounded, that you get experience at a lot of things and, I don't know, kind of demystify some of the like, you know, oh, it's a big deal to be able to do this. Like, yeah, but you can figure it out and you're all capable and it's possible for you, I guess.
Yeah, Betsy would always talk about kids being natural sopranos also, and that matching pitch, if there's not a physiological reason that 99% of students can match pitch. It's really sad that sometimes kids are told when they're younger that they can't sing or that they shouldn't, especially boys. That's a thing that gets in there. And so I like to sing really high with them, especially through their voice change. And if you make it fun and not quite so mystical or serious, they can take hold of that.
Oh, about the teachers and how they can have an effect, because I think that's a really big thing too that's made an impact on me as a music teacher, because I have been blessed in my ministry to not just be a music teacher, but I was a church music director as well. So I have taught from 3-year-olds to like 80-year-olds, like quite the wide range there. And it's so fascinating to me that so many adults and older people who aren't involved in music have these very serious hang-ups of like, I can't sing, I'm not a singer. And one of the common things I would hear, obviously not everyone because everyone's different, but a really common thing I would hear is so often them saying like they had a bad experience in music class or a piano lesson, like a piano teacher that just said like, you're not getting this, or a music teacher who said you can't sing or you're not a good singer or something like that. And like that had like a like deep impact on them. And it just made a really profound thing for me as a teacher myself, like how important it is to create a safe space for kids to help them know like, yeah, you're going to make weird sounds sometimes and it doesn't mean that you're a bad musician. I don't know, make them feel like it's safe to explore, safe to make mistakes, and that when they happen, that doesn't mean they're not able to get better from there. Because yeah, I don't know, there's something about music that's so like personal to you that I think it makes people a little more sensitive to things. So there you go. That's some of my philosophy and background and things. Mr. Solek, we know exactly where you grew up because the choir tour actually got to see Paul Solek's hometown.
Yes, we were in Round Lake, Minnesota at the former Round Lake High School where I went through grades 7 through 10. Sadly, I dropped out of band during that time. I did not tell them that.
Oh, man. See, I told them that I dropped out of choir, but I had no idea. Look at that.
Yep, but sometimes you get out of things and you get back into them, so that was good. I had good music teachers growing up that were encouraging. They were real people like anyone else. Anyway, Round Lake, Minnesota, I grew up there K through 10 in the public school system and then 11 through 12 in the Lutheran high school that just started. And it was a principal there, Dan Sievert, who was a graduate of Concordia, Nebraska, that encouraged me to come here. And we were in a small town, didn't have a lot of musical opportunities, but that also means if you're at all musical, you have all the musical opportunities. And so I got to play organ and piano and help with music for VBS and all those kind of fun small town jack of all trades things. So I came to Concordia and did church music with an organ concentration, actually directed the 7th and 8th grade choir here when I was a senior in high school. Had Miss Girth's brother as a 7th grader in music, so that a few years ago, and have been at St. John since 2007. So I've had a wonderful, encouraging family through that. My parents are both very active in church. My dad is a pastor, and my mom told me when I was 3 years old, you're going to stand on the pew next to me, though you can't see the hymnal from where you're down, and you will sing with me, and you will participate in the service and not be a distraction. And that was good law that was very helpful to me in my upbringing. So there you have a little bit of the background of both of us, I guess. And our idea of doing this podcast is to have some of the conversations that we both get to have, both with our students, with each other, and with our wider congregation and community. Because sometimes as I'm talking to someone about either the music for a loved one's funeral or something that happened at a concert, it makes me sad that not everyone gets to know those things and gets to experience those life events and those ways which music intersects our life, especially in the Lutheran church and the Christian church, that music brings us Jesus and the work that he's done. So as we talk with each other and with a number of others involved in our community here at St. John, we're hoping that not only do we get to pass that information on, but we also get to grow from that too, because we're always looking for special distinctions of people who are teachers and other people who are the ones being taught. And the longer I go as someone viewed as the teacher, the more I see myself as a student.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that we have to learn from each other. And I'm excited to pass along a lot of those stories because there's a lot of really neat ways in which people see and experience music in our community. Well, with that short introduction, I think it's time to sign off. But before we do that, Ms. Girth, tell us about our December Hymn of the Month that's coming up.
Our December Hymn of the Month is A Great and Mighty Wonder, and it's going to be the theme for our big Christmas service we do here at St. John. So I have actually yet to experience the full Christmas service because this is only my second year serving here. I moved here last year throughout the year of 2020 and 21. Where we had COVID restrictions on a lot of things. Like, we were able to do some things and we were grateful for that, but I have not seen like the full full K-8 whole school Christmas service this year. So I'm excited to see what that looks like. And our hymn of the month is going to be like the theme that we base the service off of. So there you go. A great and mighty wonder.
So the refrain, proclaim the Savior's birth, to God on high be glory and peace to all the earth.
I love the refrain because it's that angel's message, and that's what we talked about with the kids. Like, who said those words in the Bible? And most of the classes figured out that it was angels. But we talked about the great thing that one of my favorite professors, Charles Blanco, taught me over at Concordia about the gospel, that the gospel has to have two things. It has to give glory to God and it has to give comfort to sinners. And the angel's message at Christmas does both of those things.
Very cool. Well, that fifth verse, we'll end with that today. All idols then shall perish and Satan's lying cease, and Christ shall raise his scepter, decreeing endless peace. Proclaim the Savior's birth, to God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. We hope you'll join us again in our next iteration of this podcast. We're glad you joined us today, and we hope you have a great day and that you will continue to sing boldly.
Woo!